Embraer breaks aircraft duopoly as delivery speed trumps legacy producers. The duopoly is cracking. While Boeing limps through production crises and Airbus strains under supply chain constraints, Brazilian aircraft manufacturer Embraer is capturing market share in the most profitable segment of commercial aviation, regional jets and narrow-body aircraft under 150 seats. The shift represents more than a competitive rebalancing. It marks the emergence of a multipolar manufacturing economy, where mid-tier industrialized nations are displacing legacy Western producers in capital-intensive sectors once considered impenetrable. Embraer's E2 family of jets, purpose-built for the 70 to 146-seat market, now competes directly with Airbus's A220 series and fills the void left by Boeing's discontinued 737 MAX 7 delays. The company delivered 64 commercial jets in 2025, up 23% year-over-year, with a backlog valued at approximately $21 billion as of Q1 2026. Operating margins in its commercial aviation division expanded to 12.4% in 2025 from 8.1% in 2024, driven by economies of scale and a shift toward higher-margin maintenance contracts. Where Boeing and Airbus stumble on legacy cost structures and regulatory scrutiny, Embraer moves with the agility of a challenger unencumbered by bloated supply chains or reputational crises. The catalyst for this article is timing. July 2026 marks the point at which Embraer's order book for the E195-E2 exceeded that of the comparable Airbus A2-2300 for the first time in the model's history. This milestone, reported by industry analysts in mid-2026, signals a fundamental confidence shift among airline operators. Regional carriers in Asia, Latin America, and Africa are no longer default buyers of Western aircraft. They are evaluating performance, delivery timelines, and total cost of ownership with the dispassion of institutional investors rotating out of underperformers. Why the duopoly is vulnerable now Boeing's troubles are well documented. The 737 MAX grounding fallout, persistent quality control failures at its South Carolina facility, and a 2026 Department of Justice settlement that imposed $4.3 billion in penalties and mandated third-party safety oversight through 2029. Airbus, while operationally healthier, faces its own constraints. Supply chain bottlenecks, particularly in engine deliveries from Pratt & Whitney and CFM International, have pushed delivery timelines for the A320neo family into 2028 for new orders placed in 2026. Lead times now exceed 48 months, creating an opening for competitors who can deliver aircraft in 24 to 30 months. Embraer exploits this gap. The E2 family uses the same Pratt & Whitney PW1000G geared turbofan engines as the A220, but Embraer's smaller order volume allows it to secure priority slots. The company has also localized component sourcing across Brazil, Portugal, and increasingly, India, reducing dependency on North American and European suppliers. This distributed manufacturing model mirrors the supply chain strategies now emerging across industrials, as evidenced by the growth of regional metals recycling and hydrogen infrastructure in developing economies. Consider the parallel in Australia's scrap metal exports, which reached annual revenues exceeding $100 million for mid-tier operators by mid-2026. Maddie Gupta, founder and CEO of Manhari Recycling, noted that recycled metals from Australia are helping power manufacturing economies across Asia and India, as these regions build transport networks, factories, and renewable energy projects. Manhari alone exports processed scrap to India, China, Southeast Asia, and Europe, with annual revenues of approximately $101 million as of 2026. This upstream shift in materials sourcing reflects the same decentralization trend benefiting Embraer. Manufacturing gravity is moving toward economies with lower costs, faster permitting, and fewer legacy inefficiencies. India's industrial ambitions underscore this shift. In July 2026, India launched its first green hydrogen-powered train, a 10-coach demonstrator capable of carrying 2,600 passengers up to 89 kilometers. Flagged off by Prime Minister Narendra Modi on July 17, the train had traveled over 1,200 kilometers by July 25, saving more than 3,200 liters of diesel. The initiative is part of India's National Green Hydrogen Mission, which targets production of at least 5 million tons of green hydrogen annually by 2030 under a budget of INR 197 billion, approximately $1.5 billion. India is now the sixth country to develop hydrogen trains and the first developing nation to do so. The hydrogen train project, according to Indian chemist Ujjal Gautam, will help identify which parts of the technology, from production to storage and refueling, are ready for scale and which require further R&D. Key context: Embraer's E195-E2 order book surpassed the Airbus A220-300 for the first time in July 2026, a milestone that signals eroding confidence in the Airbus-Boeing duopoly among regional carriers. The regional jet renaissance the market Embraer dominates is not peripheral. Regional jets account for approximately 38% of global commercial aircraft deliveries by unit volume, but represent 52% of total flight frequencies on routes under 1,500 kilometers. These aircraft serve thin routes that cannot justify 180-seat narrowbodies, but generate disproportionate margins for operators due to lower fuel burn per seat mile and higher load factors. Embraer's E195-E2, with a range of 2,600 nautical miles and fuel consumption 25% lower than prior generation regional jets, has become the platform of choice for carriers expanding secondary city connectivity in Asia and Latin America. The competitive dynamic is instructive. Airbus acquired Bombardier C-Series program in 2018, rebranding it as the A220, explicitly to compete with Embraer. The A220 is a superior aircraft on paper, longer range, larger capacity, and better economics on routes above 1,200 kilometers. But Embraer retains advantages in segments where operational flexibility matters more than range. The E2 family can operate from shorter runways, requires less ground support equipment, and integrates more easily into mixed fleets. For carriers in Africa and Southeast Asia, where airport infrastructure lags and route networks remain fragmented, these factors outweigh the A220's range premium. Embraer has also secured strategic partnerships that Airbus and Boeing cannot match. In 2024, the company signed a joint venture with China's COMAC to manufacture E-jets in Shandong province, with the first aircraft delivered in early 2026. The deal gives Embraer access to China's domestic market, historically closed to foreign manufacturers, while COMAC gains exposure to Western certification standards. The arrangement mirrors the localized manufacturing model that has allowed Embraer to remain cost competitive despite a stronger Brazilian real. Follow the money, where capital is rotating, private equity and infrastructure funds are taking note. Embraer's valuation has increased by 78% since January 2025, reaching a market capitalization of approximately $8.2 billion as of July 2026. By comparison, Boeing trades at 0.9 times book value, down from 2.1 times in 2019, while Airbus trades at 1.4 times book value, below its 10-year average of 1.7 times. The market is pricing in a structural shift, not a cyclical rebound. Institutional investors are also rotating capital into adjacent sectors that benefit from the same decentralization trend. The scrap metal recycling industry, as highlighted by Manhari Recycling's growth, is part of a broader circular economy build-out that supports manufacturing in emerging markets. Similarly, India's hydrogen infrastructure investments, including the Hydrogen Train initiative under the National Green Hydrogen Mission, represent a $1.5 billion government commitment to energy transition. These are not speculative bets. They are investments in the physical infrastructure required to support manufacturing economies that no longer rely exclusively on Western supply chains. The parallel to Imbrar is direct. Just as Australia's recycled metals are transforming waste into valuable export resources, for Asian construction and manufacturing, Imbrar is transforming Brazil's aerospace engineering capacity into a competitive advantage in global aviation. Both stories reflect the same underlying dynamic. Mid-tier economies with lower cost structures and faster decision-making cycles are capturing market share in sectors where incumbents have grown complacent. Logistics data corroborates the trend. Trans-Pacific container volumes from China to the United States remain strong through Q3 2026, according to Matson Navigation, which reported continued momentum in exports despite seasonal patterns. The sustained trade flows indicate that manufacturing output from Asia remains robust, supporting demand for aircraft, metals, and industrial components sourced from non-traditional suppliers. Imbrar benefits from this environment as Asian carriers expand fleets to serve growing intra-regional passenger demand, projected to increase by 6.8% annually through 2030, according to IATA forecasts. The Plaquemium view Imbrar's rise is not an isolated success story. It is the leading edge of a multi-decade shift in which manufacturing excellence migrates to economies with lower regulatory friction, faster permitting, and cost structures that Western competitors cannot match without painful restructuring. Boeing and Airbus will remain dominant in wide-body and large narrow-body segments for the next decade, but their grip on the 70 to 150-seat market is finished. Imbrar has already won that war. The second-order play is component suppliers and maintenance, repair, and overhaul providers who are aligning with Imbrar rather than betting exclusively on the duopoly. Imbrar's installed base will exceed 3,000 aircraft by 2030, creating a $12 billion annual aftermarket opportunity at current industry margins of 18% to 22%. Investors should track which MRO providers are expanding capacity in Sao Paulo, Lisbon, and Bangalore, where Imbrar has established regional hubs. These are the facilities that will service the next generation of regional fleets. We also see parallels in other capital-intensive sectors undergoing similar disruptions. India's hydrogen train program, while small in scale today, signals a willingness to invest in next-generation infrastructure without waiting for Western technology transfer. Australia's metals recycling exports to Asia demonstrate how resource flows are rewiring to bypass traditional commodity markets. The common thread is speed and adaptability. Incumbents in aviation, energy, and materials are hamstrung by legacy costs and regulatory overhang. Challengers like Imbrar, India's railways, and regional recyclers are not. The investment thesis is straightforward. Capital should rotate toward companies that benefit from the decentralization of industrial production. That includes Imbrar itself, but also suppliers of titanium forgings, avionics, and composite materials who serve multiple OEMs and are not dependent on Boeing or Airbus. It includes logistics providers with exposure to intra-Asia trade routes, where regional aircraft demand is strongest. And it includes infrastructure funds investing in the physical backbone of emerging manufacturing economies, from hydrogen refueling networks to scrap metal processing facilities. The bottom line, Imbrar's ascent is not a fluke. It is the result of disciplined execution, strategic partnerships, and a market environment where the duopoly's structural weaknesses have become exploitable. For institutional investors, the opportunity is not merely to own Imbrar equity, though that remains attractive at current multiples. the opportunity is to recognize that the manufacturing map is being redrawn. Capital will flow to companies and sectors that align with this new geography. Embraer is the proof of concept. The next decade will produce dozens more. Regional aviation is not a niche. It is the majority of global flight activity, and it is now up for grabs. Investors who understand this will position accordingly. Those who wait for Boeing and Airbus to fix their problems will miss the rotation entirely.